talking about duplexes. Those are just the double houses. Duplexes
could be upstairs, downstairs.
For
our own edification, the code is online entirely. The tax maps obviously are online, but they're not really going to show us. Well, we can look at the size of
so the thing that John's that I'm asking for, John put together, is exactly what you're asking for.
Yeah.
It's basically showing what size lots have how many dwellings
and which are in compliance and which are not.
They were still in here for a while, but he's
probably updated. And I think John probably, with his all of his brilliance, probably has the ability to give us two or three variations.
Right.
So here's all the ones that have two units.
Yeah.
Here's all the ones that have one unit. Here's all the ones that are on this size square foot. Like, I think with a little bit more understanding of what we actually have, then we could make proper decisions.
Yeah.
And I know that in the South End, there's a few lots that are sitting there that have 50 or 60 feet of street frontage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're empty because you can't build them.
Mm-hmm.
John encouraged me, and I went out and bought the license for his mapping program.
Oh, good. Okay.
He's also given me copies of the database.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how to use the software. I read the manual.
Yeah.
And
John loves to play with those maps, too.
Yeah.
It's part of one of the things he likes to do, the research, and he's very good at it.
I'll try to come up to speed as quick as I can so we can do iterations.
Mm-hmm.
On
he probably still has those maps. As I said, they were over in the corner for a while. I bet they're in his office or up there in storage.
So. I think I've got to PDF. Is it the one that is the undeveloped parcels in Rockland?
It may be. I don't know what the title is.
I think it's a variation. It's either undeveloped or ones that aren't compliant or where you could actually have a small
non-compliance is going to be everything. Hasn't been built in the last 20 years.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
We had at one point, we had, I won't go into any who exactly and name anything, but we had a house that had a door with a witch's stair, and it was from second
back
story, it was a second witch's stairs, and we were told to nail that door shut because it was not in code compliance, that people can jump out the window. From the second story. I'm like, really?
Technically, those stairs should be allowed. I mean, legally, because they were already there existing. They grandfathered it.
And they weren't the primary stair. They were secondary stairs.
So we didn't buy the house.
Board them up.
When they said that to us, we said, we're not going to go there.
Well, that's one of the issues with the tiny house code. They have means of egress. But didn't tell you what to do once you get out the window and you're on the second floor.
Yeah.
You jump. There's no requirements on rope ladders.
We have that. Any residential bedroom currently, you have one door into a bedroom and you go out a second floor window. Still, it's the same logic. But the problem with the tiny house is more that the evolution of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fine if that's exactly the only size it's going to be, but are we?
When
they add a deck,
it
throws everything out the window, and I just can't imagine. The only way somebody's going to build that size is if it's on wheels, so that they can move it through the.
Yeah,
as soon as we're requiring them to be on a real foundation to hook up the sewer,
this is not allowed.
This
is not allowed on wheels.
I understand, but that's what I'm trying to say. They're creating rules that work for wheels, but they won't allow wheels. And as soon as you put it on a foundation,
you're stuck.
It should be the same code for all.
Yeah.
Same code for all.
Yep.
Yeah, but we will never. I want it so bad, okay? But I see so many problems with the wheels with the plumbing code. I mean, I don't see how the gray water issue is ever going to get solved with the state of Maine's plumbing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and not in a city that's set up the way that ours is. Like, if you're talking about country living, gray water is an entirely different thing.
Except not the way the Maine... The plumbing code is written and
it's still
because it's mobile doesn't mean that it can't be hooked up to city utilities, because it can be.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you're semi-permanent when you do that, but you can connect and disconnect.
Right. So that would be wonderful if we could pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, I brought this little image. This they're doing, I think it was in Denver or somewhere close by there. But they bought two lots, and they got a whole bunch of little units on one, and they can only stay in temporary housing for less than 180 days or something. Mm-hmm. So they just pull all the over to the other lot, and they stay the 180 days. They got a septic built on both lots, yeah. So they just plug into that septic for all these houses when they're over there. Yeah. They pull it across, and they do it, and you know.
Same thing.
Yeah, so if you have to do that, but why not just change the rules to allow them to be there longer?
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
just
mind This one is actually Maine Public Radio. That was there. This one was down east, so if you want to live in a tiny home, you probably all saw that.
Yep.
This one is out of Washington State. Again, there's a lot of places that are a lot more advanced than Maine, but there's a lot that are less advanced than Maine as well. Maine is more advanced than Texas. Yeah. Washington, Portland, yeah. Oregon are more advanced than Maine. The tiny house appendix Q is the one that everybody's considering that you have to opt in on. It's the national...
I find this interesting that we're talking about making smaller houses, and our experience, at least in our neighborhood, and I think in a lot of our homes, is people are coming in and buying houses that are 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 square feet that were 2, 3, 4 units, and they're taking them back to one unit, and you know who's living in them? One or two people.
Yeah.
Well, that's the split. That's the
yeah,
income split.
That's
the income split. One of the reasons that tiny houses on wheels, or tiny houses to begin with, became popular as sort of a movement, if you will, is because buying and or building a new house for most people, for many people, particularly young families or young people, is just simply not affordable mm-hmm. anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or retired. I mean, yeah. a lot of people that are on fixed income.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a...
So why not provide more options so that somebody can be a homeowner if they want to? They only live in 750 square feet or 300, whatever.
When we first moved to Rockland, we lived in a tiny house.
Yeah.
It was legal.
Yeah.
It was a school bus.
Yeah.
And we were hardwired into the telephone pole and lived in that while we built.
That's exactly what my wife and I did. We moved here, we bought our property, we lived in a camper, we built our whole house.
Yeah.
And it took a year and a half, 2 years to get it to where we could actually...
You didn't have the rain. Exactly
yep.
the same thing.
We were in there.
But now we couldn't live in the bus on the property.
Right. Mm-hmm. Same.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they changed. Now you can live in a camper in Rockland.
Yeah.
That was not the case when I was
That came up a year or two ago. Yeah. Living in the RV thing came up. Yeah. Well, which gets into a whole thing with RVs and our tiny houses. I'll leave you with this thought. Mm-hmm. Are tiny houses on wheels RVs?
Yes.
No.
They are because they are.
Yes and no. They're not designed for recreational, and they're not vehicles in and of themselves. So, yes and no. Yeah. There's a whole article here about a houseboat. We're not even going to get into that. But a guy down in Florida who sued the city council and then went all the way to the state because they said that his houseboat was, he said it was a house, and they said it was a vehicle. Mm-hmm. And he said it can't move on its own. Mm-hmm. And you know, so they got into it, and he ended up winning. So, yeah.
Well, in Maine, aren't you registered as a motor home? It's not recreational.
Business. So there's.
So it's a home that's moved with a motor. So
that
so
company the book Tumbleweed is now producing the ones that they produce that are ready to drive off the lot are now registered RVs.
Right.
When they first started out, they were not. They did that mostly because of bank financing, because banks would not give people money to build a tiny house on wheels. Mm-hmm. When they turned it into an RV, they give them money for RVs. Mm-hmm. So it was primarily a banking and finance issue. But they're not designed for recreation, and they're not designed... These are designed to live in.
We have code... I mean, right now, if you buy a modular home that's built somewhere else and brought... There is one set of inspections and code compliance that goes into that.
Right.
If you buy a mobile home, which comes as a complete package, and that's a whole different permitting and stamped process. And if you're in the RV, the codes that are required for life and safety and everything else is completely different than residential. And those also need to be inspected along the way by a certified professional.
Right.
So the biggest issue with tiny houses is because people are wanting to DIY themselves, there's no method set up for code approval.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone to a number of code officer events to...
You and I were at the same one where Corinne Watson presented the tiny house of Maine.
I was at the same one she presented at, too. And so there there's a void here, mm-hmm. and
she's producing these houses, and hers are on wheels, and she can't get anybody to inspect them mm-hmm. in order to make to be able to get COs on them. So she's doing it under the radar.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and she's like, I don't know where they're going.
She says, I know where they're going. I'm not going to tell you where I'm building them.
Yeah. So, but if you build a house in Rockland, the codes are strict. If you bring in a modular home, it doesn't have to meet local codes necessarily, because some of the codes
don't apply. Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. Has to be inspected. Has to be.
Yeah. What about like sprinklers and stuff?
If mm-hmm. it's going to go in Rockland, mm-hmm. and it has to meet the building code for Rockland, even if you're mm-hmm. buying it okay. from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So,
but there's different, as he said, there's different codes for modular houses.
Right.
They are often inspected at the factory,
but mm-hmm. they still need. So they need to meet.
Yeah.
But our zoning, what you're talking about is. What sprinklers we need mm-hmm. in the city of Rockland. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you buy your house from Florida or mm-hmm. California or in Camden and you bring it into Rockland. It still needs to meet those requirements in Rockland. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
No, I was worried.
Right. In order to live in it legally. Yeah. And that's what a bunch of these people with tiny houses on wheels are living in them mm-hmm. under the radar. Mm-hmm. If they're not legal. So. Mm-hmm. They're non-conforming. I shouldn't say they're not legal. They're non-conforming. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, thank you all. Let me know if you need me. You have my email, I think.
Yes.